So welcome, everybody. Today is Wednesday, the 23rd, 2021, and this is our Deep Waters call, or New Jesus call, or Whole Life Healing call. Anyway, we are here with Alex Lloyd, and it's a time for you to interact with Alex, hopefully regarding any of the YouTube videos that he's been posting. My name is Johanna Chan. I'm going to be assisting Alex today. Before we hear from Alex, though, I want to share this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only. And since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan, or possibly you if you choose to share. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. So today, if you want to interact with Alex and you're on the phone, you simply press *9, and that's going to raise your hand and I'll be able to unmute your line. If you're on the web, you can write in the Q&A, you can write in a question and I can read that to Alex. So our topics. Okay, I didn't write it down. Alex, you're on for the topics for this week.
All right, thank you, Johanna, and thank you everyone. Whenever you're listening, we know most people listen to this by recording. So whenever you listen to it, wherever you are in the world, we love you, we pray for you, we appreciate you. If we can better serve you in any way, we would be very open to doing that. We have changed many, many, many things in 20 years based on feedback from you guys. And I think we're much the better for it. Yeah, this week on YouTube, we're talking about freedom of religion as far as the deep water, kind of controversial thing. And there were several things that impressed me in my research and study about freedom of religion. It's one of the primary reasons America was founded in the first place. That seemed to be mainly three things: freedom from exorbitant taxes, freedom from the class system of Europe, where if you were born as a peasant or in the lower class, which was about 95% of all Europe back then, there was no hope of you ever like changing classes. I mean, you could invent the better mousetrap, but they probably would still keep you in the lower class by the way the government and the laws were structured, and all of that. And then freedom of religion, running from the Inquisition and the Church of England, the Catholic Church, that for about 300 years killed, some people say millions of people who were not doing religion their way or not doing Christianity their way. Controversy of this, and you really need to watch the video, and it's not very long. I think it's about 15-18 minutes. But the controversies of this are separation of church and state, which some people say exists, some people say it really doesn't exist, because the lawmakers all have religious and world views, and most of them are going to vote according to those beliefs they have. And if they violate their own beliefs in their vote, that may be an even bigger red flag for some reasons. Another controversial issue is to use religion as sort of a excuse to skirt laws. The Ku Klux Klan is an example of that, albeit an extreme one, where they justified the killing of African-American or Black men, women, and children for hundreds of years. They did not justify it in reality, nothing could justify it, but they tried to use the laws of the land and their status as white people and some even really crazy laws that counted a black person as a fractional percentage of a white person instead of equal to a white person. But that's another controversy of it is using religion as a way to get away from laws or a way to escape taxes or whatever it is. All right. And the main thing it comes down to me is I believe you should be able to practice your religion, any religion, whatever it is, whatever your worldview is, you should be given the freedom to practice it as long as it doesn't infringe on my freedom or someone else's for you to practice your religion. But if your religion impinges on my freedoms as an American or a citizen of the world or the state of Tennessee or whatever, that's where I think we've got a problem. So we talked about freedom of religion. We also in the New Jesus kind of took the next step and talked a lot about, you know, the 23rd Psalm that everybody knows, one of the most famous ancient manuscript passages in history. And it starts, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so we talked a lot about what does it mean and is it even possible to not want what you want if what you want is getting you in trouble, which it did for decades of my life. And that's been true for most of the clients I've had over the years, that a lot of the reason, sometimes all of the reason, they're coming to see me to get help is because of either something they want that they're not getting or something they don't want that they are getting. Okay. So how do you do that? Well, the only way I know to do that is to change a belief. And to change a belief, to really change it, you have to go on a search. You have to go on a discovery journey yourself. And so many people have never done that. They just believe what their parents said, or they believe what some group that has embraced them believes. That's what gangs are. I mean, everybody knows that. The gangs that kill people and steal and rob. Now, all of them don't do that, but some do. And if you talk to those young men and women, and I have talked to a good number of them, why did you kill? Why are you willing to steal and hurt other people and everything? What you get down to is this gang is my family. They are the family that my real family should have been, but either wasn't, or they didn't, or it wasn't good enough for them. All right. Sometimes it wasn't the family's fault. It was the individual's fault. But that's what you'll hear is, yes, the reason I kill, the reason I steal, the reason I hurt people, is I'm loyal to my family. And this group is my family. Well, be careful who your family is. All right. Because if you live your life in that sort of a way, I don't care if you end up with hundreds of millions of dollars, you're gonna end up with hundreds of millions of dollars and be miserable. And that's guaranteed. You can't go against your conscience like that. And all of us have one, unless you're a sociopath. Then if you're a sociopath, you don't feel guilty, but you got a whole other set of issues. So change what you want by changing a belief. And that brings me to the place of, okay, you've got what you would say you believe. What do you really believe? And that's the same with the want. You may say, if I ask you a question, what you want, what do you really want? And a very high percentage of the time, those two things are not the same. Okay. I developed a little 3-question quiz that I have asked people for over 30 years when I've spoken all over the world. And I start with asking people, what do you want right now more than anything else? And then I ask them 2 more questions. All right. And over 90% of the time, the person will end up admitting and saying, yeah, you're right. Answer to number one, what I really want most, right? What I want most right now more than anything else. You're right. That's not what I really want most. Well, then why did you answer that? Well, you need to watch the video in order to have all those details explained. So most of us have inherited beliefs or beliefs that we have been taught or absorbed from other people who influenced us. 9 out of 10 people have not gone on their own exhaustive discovery journey in order to determine what they believe is correct worldview and then commit to it and live it. In my experience, only about 1 person in 10 has actually done that. What's the difference? It means you don't own the belief. If you've not done your own search and discovery on it, you don't own it. It's like secondhand to you. Well, what's the big deal with that? When the storms come, that belief will not hold up. It will let you down. As long as everything is fine, you're probably okay. But the storms always do. So you've got to go on your own search. You've got to find the facts, find the truth, pray and meditate over them until your beliefs naturally either change or increase by like 10 times because you've now done it for yourself and you own it. Not secondhand. It is yours now and it will hold up when the storms hit. So, what is your worldview and where did it come from? And are you willing to die for it? Okay. That discovery and search was not something I really chose. I believe it was forced on me when Hope kicked me out of the house in my late 20s. But I did go on that search. I found the facts. I found the truth, at least in my thinking. And after I did, I went through a transformation of about 6 months where every night I woke up screaming with night terrors and night sweats because I was being changed from the inside out. My beliefs were changing, which led to my actions, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, the chemistry of my body, my hormones, everything started changing as those beliefs changed. And this will be the last thing I'll say, and then we'll open it up if anybody wants to ask a question or say anything. To me, that search comes down to finding the origin of 3 things. Okay. Love, justice, and grace. Our body and mind are obviously without question built to work correctly. We are living committed to love-based principles, thoughts, feelings, beliefs, actions, etc. When we start to operate in fear-based feelings, beliefs, actions, we start to malfunction, and we malfunction more and more the longer we live there, until finally we have a terminal illness or disease or several, or we fall over from a heart attack, or we have a nervous breakdown, or why? because we're not built to live on fear. It just won't work. We're supposed to be there once or twice a year for 15 minutes and then right back to neutral or brain, nervous system, emotional, physiological peace. So we know that we work on love, not fear. All right. Love would always choose grace for the object of his love rather than death or punishment or whatever. Love would always choose grace for the object of its love. So that's number two. And then number three is justice. It is a primary pillar of being human. And if there were 1,000 of us who did not know each other, who all of a sudden were in a plane crash and stranded on a desert island together, once we made sure everyone was safe and we had gotten all of the supplies and equipment we felt like we could get from the airplane before it sank into the sea, once we did a couple of things like that, our number one first thing we would do is set up a system of justice. Everybody can only have one water bottle. Everybody can only have one can of tuna fish or whatever it is. And if someone violated that, there would be consequences. They would be guarded so they couldn't do it again. There would be some punishment. You don't get your next ration because you took someone else's. But we would set up a system of justice. And we have never discovered any civilization in history that did not have a system of justice and that worshiped something, whether it was God, a rock, the sun, another man, whatever. So to me, mission of discovery was, okay, what is the true worldview? Is love-based, so has true justice and grace at the same time. Because true justice says, wrong, a price has to be paid. For a right, there is a reward. But grace says you don't have to pay the price. It's already been taken care of for you. So when I started, it's like, is it even possible? It sounds impossible, but is there a system that has all three? Love, true justice, real grace. And I found one in the world, and only one. And that's why I am a follower of Jesus, because I believe it is love-based, it is true grace, true justice, and the only real plausible explanation I could find of how we're here the way we are, et cetera. But this is obviously a deep topic, a controversial topic. I'm sharing my two cents. I'm not trying to lay what I believe onto you. And I'm totally happy if you come on right now and say, boy, are you wrong? Here's what I believe, and this is why this is the one that's correct. That's why I started doing this. Let's start talking. I'm not saying I've got the solutions. Let's start talking about these things that are important in truth, love, kindness, but unrelenting to find the de facto truth that we can hang our lives on. So that's it for me, Johanna. And I'm sorry I went so long. And I've got about 8 minutes until I've got to be at an appointment. But if we have any question or comment in 8 minutes, I'll be delighted to respond however I can.
Okay. Okay, so if you are on the telephone and you would like to interact with Alex, raise your hand. Star 9 is going to raise your hand. We have one question up, one hand up. This is Claire. Your line is open.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi.
Thanks for this, Alex. It's a very, very good point. I happen to be in agreement with many of the points that you made. One of the key elements of this is truth. What is true? What is untrue? Mm-hmm. And for so many, I don't know how many thousands of years now, and all over the world, so many people have been lied to as to what is the truth.
Right.
This is one of the cornerstones, is do research, use discernment in your thinking. God gave you a brain, use it. But many people do not seem to exhibit the curiosity to seek out the truth of whatever the matter may be, much less look into challenging the belief system that they absorbed from their parents or their environment or whatever. So one of the main things is to, how can we get them courageous enough to re-examine these things?
Right. I agree with you. And I read a story by Philip Yancey. Philip Yancey's been one of my favorite writers for a long, long time. And he was talking about, and he writes a lot of, I guess you would say, Christian-based books, Bible, scripture-based books, et cetera. But to me, he is one of the ones who is very open-minded, who has really gone where other people maybe were not comfortable going or were criticized for going. And one of the things he wrote about was a meeting that he was invited to. I think it was for a long weekend with a Muslim imam, a Jewish priest, a Catholic priest, a rabbi. Various leaders from different religious worldviews. And he was talking about his thought about it before he went versus how he felt about it after it was over. And his feeling after it was over was that we have so much more in common than he had ever remotely realized. And he thought of those men and women that he had been with that weekend now truly as friends who he loved, and they loved him, and he believed that was the truth, and I imagine still does today. But I think his point is, you know, if we can come together, check our prejudices, biases, and kind of what I've been taught in my life, leave that at the door, and just come to discuss with someone in kindness, in love, not to try to convert anybody, not to try to even convince anybody, but just to speak the truth in love and relentlessly go after the facts and then where the chips fall. And his conclusion was very encouraging to him, that if we could get, you know, together with those kinds of conditions, that he thought wonderful things can happen and should happen, and we should figure out how to do this. And but it is a monumental, because you're talking about the great majority of the world's population. You're talking about, you know, 93% at least, some people would say 97, but 93 to 97% of the entire world's population has some particular belief in this area that they believe is the one that's true, or they would at least answer that way. Well, you're talking trying to get, what, 8 billion people on the same page? Good luck. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I would love to be a part of that, but it's not going to be an easy undertaking, and it's certainly not going to happen. And this is one thing Yancey said, it's certainly not going to happen among people that are angry at each other and trying to hurt someone else who has a different view, either physically or non-physically. It's not going to happen there. It's going to have to start with people who are not angry, who can sit down and be people of character, integrity, and everyone act in good faith, kind, and to the truth and facts. It's going to have to be something like that. But I absolutely believe it's possible for more and more of us to get on the same page by going on a discovery search for ourselves until we have found it. And I think that's different for everybody, but I knew when I had found it. But anyway, yeah, wonderful comment.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. If anyone else has any comments, like to interact with Alex, you can press star 9 on your phone, or you can type in a question. If you're online, you can see at the bottom there, bottom of the screen, you see Q&A. You can type in a question there.
And I've got like 30 seconds.
I don't see any other hands up, Alex, right now anyway, so.
Okay. Well, love you, everybody. You can send your question without having to be here. And thank you, Johanna. Love you.
Love you too, Alex. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so if any of you would like to get a custom trilogy or a custom healing code, I'm here for you. You can, again, just raise your hand, star 9. It's going to raise your hand, and I'll be able to create one for you. All right, so this caller's number is 13124. I'm going to unmute your line. And I'm asking you to unmute. So,
hello.
Okay, there you are. Yes, who's this?
Oh, hi, this is Sheen. I think the system is a little different from what I used to do.
Yes, we're on a Zoom call now, and it's a bit different. We're getting used to it too. Dr. Lloyd and I also. So,
I see. So I wasn't sure you were calling me. Okay. Well, a month ago, I got a code on just my need to control life situations, especially COVID related and all that. And after a month of practicing and healing, then I realized the deeper control issue that I have is actually wanting to control how people feel about me, think of me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's about people, not about life situation.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yes. And certain things certainly has to do with life situations, but I feel like the deeper fear is people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, how do you feel? Do you just, you're afraid they're going to hurt you, or is it just a fear of not being accepted, or
Yeah, I think it's more of acceptance.
Okay.
Because of the way that I grew up, that it was not a very nurturing environment. And, you know, I wasn't with my family. So a lot of it, I felt like I was trying to survive, to gain love by pleasing the caretakers or the teachers, the whoever, because that's all I had.
Okay.
My parents were not around. I think that's deeply formed how I view life, how I view what's safe. Like often I feel not safe, or I have to make an effort. And this is all subconscious. If I sit and I meditate, I usually, if I bring myself to a place and say, okay, I can relax right now. I don't have to think about pleasing anybody, performing anything, just where I'm at, I'm safe with God. That always brings me some kind of comfort.
Yeah.
And then from that point on, I can think about other things.
Okay.
You know, but you know, when I'm in my daily life, I'm not thinking about it. But when I'm actually just listening to my heart, that part always brings the comfort. So that makes me feel like, okay, there's still healing that needs to happen, because somehow subconsciously, I'm not always feeling like I'm safe unless everything's under my control, everybody's happy with me, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, right. Okay. Okay, let's go ahead and now any early memories, specific memories you can bring in to this, you know, the process when you are, you know, right before you start it.
I have a few. When I think about them, I don't feel like a emotional, I don't have stress over it. But I feel like those things probably still play a role in it. And also what my parents have gone through, a couple of events that they share with me. And one being like when my mom was pregnant with me the whole pregnancy. And she was in a place that, you know, she had to make sure the supervisor at the time approved of her. Otherwise, you know, she could be sent to a complete different state, away from, you know, my dad and all of that. So I think those things I didn't, you know, personally go through in a sense, but I wouldn't be surprised that they are part of the woundedness.
Right. Okay. And you are absolutely correct. We can include all of that in this process.
Right. Now,
are we doing the trilogy or a healing code?
Trilogy, if that's a better approach.
Okay. Okay, Jean, say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The not safe issue.
The not safe issue.
Okay, very good. So this is going to go all the way back, including DNA that was passed down through your mom.
That's great.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to start first minute tapping from the eyebrows all the way to the side of the hand.
Good one.
Okay. And then we're going to go to collarbone, sore spot, side of the hand. Then we're going to go to under the arms. Okay. Under the eyes. Chin. Then back to the collarbone. Sore spot. Middle of the chest, and then the 9G.
Okay.
Okay, the healing code. Both hands, Adam's apple.
Okay.
Left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge. Both hands, jaws. Left hand, high bridge, right hand below the belly button.
Okay,
and then the governing conception and energy centers. Start at the base, slide all the way up.
Oh, hold on. This is still the healing code portion?
No, this is the third minute. The governing conception.
The third minute, okay. Okay.
Start at the base and slide all the way up over to the top of the spine. And do that three times.
Three times, okay.
Then we're going to start with the forehead. Slide down to the heart. Slide down to the solar plexus. Slide back up to the heart. Slide to the throat. Slide up to the crown. Slide all the way down to the base. And then move slowly up, pausing at each center. And if you'd like to repeat the healing code, you can do that again.
Okay. Okay, great. Now just for me to have a better understanding of this new system, so I can use the number and call with a webinar ID, right?
Yes.
And then when you call out the number, like I thought you were calling my like a cell phone, a phone number. That's why I didn't answer. Oh, that's not my number.
Yeah.
So what number is that?
No, the number I'm seeing for you is a whole phone number, but I only saw, when I called your number, I only saw the first four numbers. I think it was 1312.
Okay.
I'm seeing a phone number. Now on our other, and then to raise your hand on this system is star nine, where
star nine,
the old system was star
that two. Was star two.
Yeah.
Okay. So the number you're calling out is the first four digits.
Well, that's how it showed up for your phone number.
Okay.
This is all new to me too. I mean,
right.
Now that I'm looking at it, I can see your whole number, the last four numbers.
Oh.
1799.
Right. And usually you call the old system, you would call the last four digits.
Yes, that's what I used to do. And so when I looked at the number, all I saw was the first four. So that's why I said the first four. So I see. Like I said, it's a learning curve for me too. So
okay. Yeah. I'm just glad it worked.
Yeah. I'm glad you came on. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller is Claire. I'm going to unmute your line.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love a trilogy code for confidence with income coming in. I find myself becoming a worry wart, and worry is just negative goal setting. About, oh my gosh, I've got to make more money. Where's my next job coming from? I want to be able to know that I can trust God, the universe, Jesus, that I will always have enough income.
Okay. So when you think about not having the income, you're worrying about it. On a scale from 1 to 10, how strong is that?
It's a 7. It varies between 5 and 7.
Okay. Is there an early memory that comes up when you think about this kind of worry? Not having confidence. Is there a particular memory that comes up?
Yes.
In that memory, how strong is it?
Probably between a 6 or 7.
Okay. Okay, so we want to include that memory in this trilogy. So okay. In other words, you want to look at that and see, we hope that it will, you know, the negative charge from that particular memory, when you experience it, that will come down in intensity. And hopefully then your current thoughts and worries about this current situation will as well. Now you could use this through all 12 categories if you want to really, really go on a search and exploration for any blocking memories or programming. You could take this and work through all 12 categories.
Super.
Okay, let's go ahead and get your trilogy. Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
This fear issue.
This fear issue.
Okay, just a moment. Okay, so we're going to start with the eyebrows, as usual. Type and tap all the way to the side of the hand.
Okay.
Okay, and then you're going to start at the solar plexus. I'm sorry. Then we're going to start at the chin.
Okay.
Collarbone.
Okay.
Middle of the chest.
Okay.
And we're going to go to under the arm.
Okay.
Side of the hand.
Uh-huh.
Floor spot.
Uh-huh.
And then the 9G.
Okay.
Okay, then we're going to have the healing code. First position, both hands below the belly button.
Okay.
Second position, left hand bridge, right hand Adam's apple.
Okay.
Next position, both hands brain stem.
Okay.
And then both hands high bridge.
Okay.
Okay, the next part, governing conception and energy centers.
Uh-huh.
Start at the base.
Uh-huh.
Slide all the way up and over 2 times.
Okay.
Then start at the base again. And okay. You're going to hold it for a few seconds, like maybe, 4 or 5 seconds. Then slide up to the heart.
Okay.
Slide up to the throat.
Okay.
Slide back down to the heart.
Okay.
Down to the solar plexus or the tummy.
Uh-huh.
Slide down below, just below the belly button.
Okay.
Slide back up to the heart.
Uh-huh.
And then slide up to the crown, only you want to pause at the throat, pause at the forehead, and end up on the crown.
Okay.
And then if you want, you can repeat the healing code again.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, and one more hand. I think it's Marilyn. Unmute your line. Hi, Marilyn.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Gosh, still getting used to this.
I know, I am too. Sorry, it's a learning curve.
That's all right. Last week you gave me a trilogy because I had an issue where I didn't trust in God's love. And then you asked for the memory, it went back to a cat that I had lost tragically. Interestingly enough, I've done a lot of healing on forgiving the person who I feel responsible, but I never really felt that I truly forgave this person. And while doing the trilogy, I think for the second or the third time in my head, I just heard this voice very loud saying, I just want to kill you. And then this blurry image sort of came in and I sensed it was this person. And I just felt this incredible forgiveness going out to this person. And then it's like this person's energy went out of my life. And I talked to my son about it because I know that he was equally traumatized by the event. And he was just, as I'm talking to him, he was just so unforgiving towards this person. So I said to him, well, I will ask for a trilogy for him specific to this problem. But I also feel it needs to be for my husband and daughter because we were all very much traumatized by it. And again, the energy is we don't trust in God's love. I feel I have healed on that, but I still feel unforgiving towards God that this happened. I feel I've healed the unforgiveness I felt to the person, but not towards God that this happened. I thinking about this morning while I was waiting to come on, an earlier memory is when my younger brother, when I was four, playing with matches, set fire to the house. It didn't burn down, fortunately, but it could have. And also for my husband, when he was six, he was in Sunday school. And when he came home, he to find his father in hospital because he'd been at the neighbors and had got badly burnt in a barbecue accident. So I sort of feel for my husband, that's a memory that is part of this. But I also would like a family healing, I think, for this.
Okay, that sounds good, Marilyn. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, say for me, I desire to be healthy.
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
This trauma memory.
This trauma memory.
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness.
Okay, good. Okay, so this is going to address all of that, whether it's relationship with themselves, with God, with this individual. This will, and you can definitely release this to your family and love.
Thank you.
Okay, so tapping, we're going to start with the eyebrows, go all the way to the side of the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to start at the eyebrow.
Mm-hmm.
Side of the eyes.
Yep.
And under the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to go to the little finger.
Mm-hmm.
Thumb.
Yep.
Side of the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Under the arms.
Yeah.
Middle of the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Collarbones.
Uh-huh.
Side of the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 9G.
Okay.
Okay, healing code. Okay, this is also just back to the, this is also including generational.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, generational fears and unforgiveness towards God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is also, there's also programming that was there before. Okay, healing code. Both hands below the belly button.
Mm-hmm.
Left hand, brainstem. Right hand, mm-hmm. eye bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Both hands, Adam's apple.
Mm-hmm.
Left hand jaw, right hand temple.
Yeah.
And then both hands, high bridge again.
Okay.
Okay, governing conception and energy centers. Start at the base and slide all the way up and over three times without stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to go to the solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
The heart.
Yeah.
the base.
Mm-hmm.
Then just below the belly button.
Mm-hmm.
The forehead.
Mm-hmm.
The crown.
Yeah.
Then down to the throat.
Uh-huh.
Down to the heart.
Uh-huh.
Down to the base.
Yeah.
And then slide up and over again. With that.
Okay. Spot.
And then, of course, if you want to repeat the healing code, you can do that.
Yes. Yes, I do. I do find that helps.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for this. As I said, it was an incredible experience actually going through that, to feel that forgiveness and then feel like he went out of my life, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, yeah, thank you for this.
You're welcome. God bless you, Marilyn. Thank you so much for coming on.
I do my best. I'm just getting used to it all.
Me too. I always try to come on about 30 minutes early to make sure I figure out all the bells and whistles. Oh. I have Santo here helping me today. So.
Oh, well, we're getting there. We're getting there.
God bless
you. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. So if anyone else has we have a few more minutes. So if you would like a custom code or a custom trilogy, you can raise your hand by pressing *9 on your phone. If you have a question, you can type it in at the Q&A. Just click that on. If you're on the web and you look at the bottom of your screen, you'll see Q&A, and you can type something in there. Right now, it doesn't seem like we have any other hands up. So that will be it for today. I want to thank you all for participating, and thank you for your patience with all of us. This new format that we're using, we'll all get used to it soon. I'm sure it's going to be fine. God bless you. And please do write us if you have any questions, you have any suggestions on how we might improve our call. Send that in at feedback@thehealingcodes.com. It would be great. Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.